Good morning. Today is Thursday, October the 8th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
You know, someday we're going to see each other. You know that.
That's right.
You can't hide from me forever.
Well, I'm here at my office. I'm not really in hiding.
Oh, sure. Pull that card, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
How does it happen that we say we learn things by heart instead of by head?
Because the heart used to be considered the center of the soul.
I'm going to go with because we learn from what impacts us more than what we think about.
All right. Two options. Any close?
You're at 90% for an A+. Can you guess who placed the seat of thought in the heart?
God.
Ancient Greeks. It was because of a mistaken analysis of anatomical functions.
I see. We're talking biological here, not theologian. Okay. God, I was 0 for 2 on that one. How impressive.
Oh,
huh?
Man. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear the tears welling up.
Exactly.
You would probably never want me to ever run for judge. Can you imagine me in a courtroom setting?
Well, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Been there and seen that.
About what? About
you always have judges who look at you and they have this face that says, "Really, really."
I think I'd be escorted out by the bailiffs after about 2 hours. Oh, geez. So what's going on in the court business these days? Are you processing through?
Yes, we are. Slowly. I mean, you know, glacial speed would be the best way I could describe it. But we are processing through. I know last time we talked about I was hopeful we might be able to do some trials outside of the courthouse so that they would not be aired on YouTube because we were, you know, obviously concerned with victims and witnesses not feeling comfortable with some of the subject matter they were going to have to discuss and having it be, you know, aired on YouTube. And that's the idea, is that if a court is operating a trial that has to be open to the public, but they don't want to bring people in because of COVID or some other issue like that, they have to have some public way of showing it in order to say it's open to the public. And so the court here is using Zoom, which is then on YouTube. So after our last talk a month ago, the court, in fact, did move one of our trials to the vet's hall, and it was fantastic. It worked very well. The trial was Mark Dare. It was a child molest case, so obviously we really did want to see that, you know, somewhere that wouldn't be on YouTube. And I went out to watch. The attorney here is Whitney Tim, tried it along with the investigator Steve Dunn and then victim witness advocate Caitlin Lahey, and it was so great to be out there because I thought if I was a juror, this to me would be perfect because they could park literally, you know, right in front. They walk through one door to be in the beautifully remodeled vet's hall and then went into a different door and they were in the courtroom. And it's that long, long room that runs, you know, from H to the back of the vet's hall, and high ceilings, the ceiling fans were running, and then because, you know, it's not set up for a jury box, each juror had their own seat, and then 6 feet away there was another chair. And then the way the court did it that I thought was really wise, too, was because there was so much spreading, they had the witness on camera with a big screen TV behind the witness. So jurors could, you know, either watch the witness or they could be watching them in real time right on the TV if, you know, if you wanted to be able to see their face a little closer. So it really, I thought it was a perfect setup, and I think it really accommodates what we need, as well as, like I say, if I was a juror, I think I would really prefer that setup. And then, of course, just the whole, we move into the rainy season, you know, the convenience of being able to park and get right into the building. So anyway, we just really appreciated it. I know it's a lot more work for the courts and for the sheriff's department, you know, with security and everything, but it really worked out very, very well. And then we did a press release yesterday. The jurors came back guilty, which I just so appreciate jurors serving at this time, but then also in these types of cases that are obviously emotionally very, very difficult cases to listen to the testimony and go through.
Does this expand the, obviously it expands the capacity of the courts, but does this expand the ability for a speedier trial because there's now an availability of a courtroom that doesn't end up on the internet?
Yes. So the idea is right now, Brian, in the courthouse, we can only run one trial at a time because the courtroom, in order to start bringing in jurors, we're actually using two courtrooms and then moving them in as they become needed. So only one trial at a time obviously slows us way down. Having this off-site location where we could run another trial means we could be running two trials at a time, which we really need to do. For example, right now we're bringing in jurors. We're trying the Demetrius Coleman murder case that happened in Rio Dell not that long ago. It's starting, you know, where we're summoning jurors and they're filling out long questionnaires. We estimate because of the length of time it's taking with COVID and to seat jurors in this case, it's going to run through potentially Thanksgiving. Well, that's the only case we can run. And obviously, we have a number of others that are time not waived, they're in custody, and they want to go to trial. So the one issue we have with the Vets Hall, Mr. Dare was out of custody, so that is why we were able to put that case there. It would be much, much more difficult for the sheriff's office to accommodate someone who is in custody at an off-site location like that because of security issues. But we'll keep talking to them about that because we really, right now with COVID, we're primarily trying people who are in custody, time not waived, and we're trying the major cases, homicides and the major sex crimes. So we really do need another location. We've got to manage somehow to try more cases than one at a time.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, the concept of flexibility in the court process, certainly this is the time for that. It's probably as protracted a period as there has been in the last little bit. Do you have the flexibility to be able to do, you know, like the old traffic courts, you know, small little things in the towns, line them up, push them through, get them out, or have things changed so much so now with current environment and concerns and the legal and court cases and that model really doesn't apply?
So I always liked, you know, the former justice courts. It was just so convenient. And I just thought it was a great way to do it. But as you know, once we had all the courts consolidated, we only try cases here in Eureka, and up until this recent trial, we've only tried them at the courthouse, which is too bad because, you know, I really do think it serves the community better when you can get out. So we do operate court, basically one day a month in some of the outlying areas, and so people can come in and get their warrants cleared. They can come in and, you know, plead, but we don't do trials out there. I really do think having this off-site location is really a great setup. And we used to use the Vets Hall. I mean, when I first started here, we were using the Vets Hall a lot for trials. And then when the courthouse went through that major retrofit, I remember Judge Brown pretty much ran court every day out at the Vets Hall. And it was really, it's a good way to go, you know, and you can get more done. The other advantage having the, you know, the courtroom out at the Vets Hall, it's funny because I was talking to someone yesterday about this, is you can run court for more hours because the judge doesn't have to do all the other matters that sometimes pop up. And so we're actually more efficient, you know, because you are just focused on one case and you go from early morning to noon, you take a lunch break, and then you come back and you go all afternoon. And I just think it's a tremendous way to try to get some of these major cases done. And like I say, I think it's so much more convenient for the jurors.
Is there any ability? I know that there's some remodeling going on at the Fortuna Veterans Hall. The Arcata one, I don't know what that status is. To be able to replicate that in the other communities for that type of trial also? I mean, if the pattern works or the template's there, you know, all you're talking about is transportation of one individual and the people necessary to do that, or they just meet you there if it's on one of the lesser level crime or trials.
Well, I think it's just a function of that's no longer the way the Superior Court runs, that we don't do that.
Oh, okay.
I do think it's important to continue operating court, and in fact, I've been talking to the judges and other groups about, I would really like to see a veterans court actually start back up. When you said veterans hall, that's what made me think about that. And I think it would be ideal to run those out of the veterans halls, kind of like with the homeless court. We try to run it out of, you know, Betty Chin and some of the other centers, because that's where, you know, it's sort of convenient and it really gets good results. I think that would be great. And we are going to try, we're going to continue to try to work for a veterans court, because we do need it. And it's really important to sort of address the special needs that we see with veterans. And yesterday or 2 days ago, you know, thinking about that with the Veterans Hall, I was just thinking that would be ideal, you know, because you really do have sort of different support, and it's just a really convenient location to do that.
So what would that entail? Are there certain conditions or certain types of cases, or are vets treated or processed differently?
Yes. So the idea is there's programs for veterans, more diversion type programs. And although we can offer those, I mean, we do offer those in everyday court, a lot of counties have the model of a specific veterans court, sort of like you have, you know, a mental health court or a domestic violence court. And why that works as a model, and drug court is an excellent example, it's because it changes how people come to understand what's supposed to happen. So if you're the only veteran called on a calendar with 30 other people, it may not have the same impact versus if you're in a room filled with other veterans who are also going through, you know, similar issues, similar problems that you have, it helps propel you forward. And drug court, it really works well, you know, because people are holding each other accountable, but they're also recognizing each other's achievements. And so it's sort of that peer group that helps people go, got it, I can do this, I can get through this, you know, next problem. And veterans courts, we could also involve, you know, because we have a lot of active veterans here, we could involve them to help other veterans who are going through troubled times. You know, and the goal is obviously to address the issues, and hopefully get them out of the criminal justice system. And that's, you know, that's our goal with drug court and mental health court and all those other courts.
So it's almost like a team support environment.
Yes. Yeah. And then also the court, the DA assigned, the public defender assigned, and the service providers who are there are recognizing this is a different group that might have special needs. You know, I mean, obviously we're trying to address, for some it's a serious substance abuse, for some it's a mental health issue that, you know, from what they experience. And so you're focused on really addressing that uniquely, and that's the best way to treat a person, right? So it's just, you know, like I say, it's the same with our other courts. You're focused in on the specific needs of that individual because you understand as a subset, they have a different set of
right.
Needs.
It's just a different environment. Yeah, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County's District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets, along with Baywood Golf and Country Club. Maggie, you were indicating in the last segment that there's this deep concept of, I guess, a theme court, if you will. But with the fires that are going on in so many of the areas and some of the other challenges that some other communities have, has there been any discussion about maybe bringing in a judge from out of the area and let's take a run for 6 months, and if the momentum is there and it's working, okay, then let's get a judge specifically designated to this. Or if it doesn't work, okay, they go back home and at least the state gets some kind of benefit out of that judge, rather than having them just not being able to process things through, presuming that there's not enough bodies here, enough judges here, that would have the time to take a run at something like this.
You know, Brian, that is a really good question, in the sense that what we see right now is so many counties are already short judges, that retired judges are still filling in the regular judge position. So I don't think we're really flush right now with judges who could come in and sit on a specialty court, just because they're being so heavily taxed with filling actual judicial seats that are being, you know, they're using full time. So I think, you know, we remember not that long ago, we had a number of empty seats on our bench and we were just having visiting judges nonstop. It's sort of that issue. Although I do think that given the fact we have a couple of retired local judges, we might consider that. You know, so I could certainly, and you know, when you and I are talking, that kind of occurred to me that maybe what I should say is, I think we can do this. Why don't we ask one of the retired judges if they'd be willing to give us, you know, a Friday every other week? And I think that might be a good way to go, because particularly with the option of we could run it outside of the courthouse, the judges might let us do that, because I just think it's the way we've got to go.
So why isn't the governor appointing judges?
Well, I don't know. They do. It seems like it's a very, very slow process. I think some courts have basically a need for judges, and the positions have never been there. Like, supposedly we were supposed to get another judge, but there are some counties that have, population-wise, have grown so much, you know, Riverside, San Bernardino, some of those, that when you look at what they're supposed to get, there's, you know, they're waiting on 12 more judges, or, you know, it's crazy. So the idea is, those are the places that are really working hard using retired judges to just keep their courts moving, because they're significantly short, not just necessarily because of retirements, but because they literally can't cover the volume they have.
Boy, I would think, you know, if you had any sensitivity to the criminal justice system or community safety or any of those aspects that are associated with the criminal justice system, if there was dozens of slots that were open throughout the state, that would be a super high priority to get things going so that there isn't a bottleneck.
Right. I agree. It should always be the priority.
Huh. It's intriguing that it's that situation. So maybe that helps to foster some creativity, like what you were alluding to with some of these specialty or thematic courts, and be able to develop some efficiencies there and be able to make it happen a little bit quicker when it does.
Right. That's right. Hmm. That's what we've got to hope.
Yeah. So you.
I'm sorry.
No. So you're operating out of two courts instead of five or six.
We're still running preliminary hearings in the other courts, because we can do those via Zoom, or we can, you know, go sit in that one courtroom, but the public isn't being allowed in. So we're still able to do that. It's then once we get to trial that we are in this bottleneck situation. But, you know, as you and I were talking about during the break, another possibility is we do have some out-of-custody cases that maybe we could try to get going. So far, we haven't had any time not waived driving under the influence cases that had to go, but we do have a number of those that are getting old. And for those that, you know, obviously are the concern, those with high blood alcohol and with prior convictions, perhaps those are the cases we say, can we use the vet's hall for these and try to get more of those out as well? Because we really do need to start trying more cases simultaneously if we're going to get anywhere.
What is a legal definition of public access? Is it a body count? You know, 5 people in the courtroom? 25?
No, it literally is you have to be able to access what's going on. And so that's why being able to watch it on TV is what it is. You know, it can be, if it's a courtroom walking in, it could be when we've had courtrooms that have had capacity, we've run closed circuit TV in the next courtroom over. I've done that a number of times in major cases and in sentencings, and that meets it. Because the idea is the public who came and wanted to participate, either because they wanted to speak or because they wanted to be able to be there and see it, are able. So that's kind of what I was thinking we might originally do. Rather than having it be on YouTube, I thought, well, why don't we just do closed circuit TV and then have another room the public could come and watch it, but, you know, the choice was with YouTube. I will say this. I get that YouTube in a rural community that's very spread out is a tremendous way to give people access, you know, because if you're in Willow Creek or, you know, Garberville and you're interested in a case, you're able to watch it on your computer. You know, you click on the link and there it is on your computer. So I have encouraged a lot of people to do that. You know, when people ask me, well, why did this happen? And I say, well, you know, you can watch court now every
right,
day,
yeah.
All day. If you
court TV, Humboldt County.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess what I'm curious about is with that technology available, why can't those other courtrooms be accessed and get things rolling again? Because if the public access component doesn't mean that the doors have to be unlocked, okay, so what is the holdup then?
Because it's the number of people we're bringing in each day to serve as jurors takes up the whole courtroom. So the idea is if you're going to have public access, it's sort of two parts. One is public access that way is to the courts right now. They see it as it's easiest to do on YouTube. But the issue then is they don't want even more people coming into the courthouse out of concern. So they don't want to bring in 2 jury trials because then you're talking about, you know, potentially 120, 150 people coming in.
Oh, so it's the jury selection process that is kind of
right,
the challenge.
Right.
Could that
right.
be done offsite?
And like I say, the jury trial is taking up the entire courtroom because we have to have the jurors spread
right.
out.
So why not do that like at the Muni or someplace that's big, open, cavernous, and you'd be able to space everybody out?
And that's exactly why we're at the Vets Hall, for that very reason.
Oh, okay.
But then the flip side is the security issue, right? So Mr. Dare was out of custody, so that could happen there. But the concern is once, you know, right now looking out at the trials we have ready to go, the vast majority are very, very significant, serious with people in custody, and that raises a lot more risks to be away from the courthouse where we have, you know, obviously bailiffs in every courtroom.
It's security issues then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That makes sense. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. So, Maggie, what are you looking at going into the holidays? Are you going to be able to process some of this backlog out, or is it just going to be a little bit slower period during the year, during a slow year?
I think given sort of the unique circumstances we're in right now, we can't treat the holidays any different than September and October. We've got to try to do as much as we can to get as many, you know, cases through, whether it be jury trial or otherwise, to try to make some headway. Because we, you know, we lost 6 months, basically, of a year, and we can't lose any more time.
So does that mean, obviously it means no vacations, but is there a way to speed the process up during the holidays? Because I would suspect that a lot of judges typically, maybe not Humboldt County judges, don't have that same desire.
That's true. The one advantage, I think, right now is that I suspect a lot fewer people, jurors, will be traveling. You know, that was always the difficulty with trying to get jurors during Thanksgiving and then the holidays after. With people traveling, family traveling, you know, people were really reluctant to commit to serving. And I just don't see that right now. So hopefully people say, why not? I'm here. Let's do it.
Let's clear my docket for the next 2 years. I won't get that funny thing in the mail. I still have those double jury notices sitting here for you, though, when next we see each other. Thanks for coming by, Maggie.
Thank you, Brian.
All righty, hang in there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See everybody tomorrow.